Master of Hearts by Avril Ives by Ida Pollack. Part of the Romance by Ida Pollack Collection. Narrated by Christy Amory for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. Kathleen emptied her drawers and folded away nylon underthings in the suitcase that lay open on the bed. With a thought at the back of her mind that it was a sad thing doing anything at all for the last time. And the conclusion of a holiday is sad enough in any case. Only a fortnight ago she'd been happily emptying the suitcase and thinking what an enchanting little bedroom it was she was going to occupy for 14 glorious days. Glorious sun-filled days that had lived up to every one of her expectations. Because this was sunny Portugal. The month was July, and her hosts were her brother and sister-in-law, who were the nicest people in the world. Quite the nicest people in the world, she thought, with a sigh. As she took a last look into the wardrobe to make certain it was bereft of all her light summer linens and cottons, and then walked to the window and threw it wide. What colour and romance and charm was to be found on this brilliant coast? The sky was as blue as a mountain harebell, and the sea lapped murmurously on the white beach. There was a translucent look about the water, as if it was made of glass, and she knew that when you swam in it, it was light and buoyant and warm as oiled silk. The coast was deeply indented, and that made her think of faraway Cornwall, where she had spent many happy holidays when she was a child. Her father, like her brother, had been an artist, and they had rented funny little furnished cottages that had clung dizzily to the edge of the cliffs and become towers of strength on wild and stormy nights. Here in Amara, she had not had to live through any wild and stormy nights, but the sensation of light and space and carefree living was the same. She turned her eyes to the flower-filled gardens inland, the jewel-bright fields and the countless other white and colour-washed villas that were dotted like birthday cakes along the curving shoreline. And she knew that the one thing Cornwall had lacked had been this glorious colour. It almost hurt the eyes, was like a violent assault upon the eyeballs. And the deep green of the umbrella pines and the rather dusty palms was something of a relief. Yes, Amara had colour and charm, and romance. But if she had come here looking for real romance, hoping for it secretly at the bottom of her heart, she had been disappointed. For the only romance had been in the flaming dawns and the crystal-clear sunsets, the high-prowed fishing boats putting out to sea, and the charming young varinas who flashed their black eyes at the sturdy young fishermen, and had the grace of ballerinas as a result of balancing huge baskets of fish on their heads. The door behind her burst inwards, and Peggy, her sister-in-law, came in with a quick tapping of her cork-soled sandals. "Darling, the most extraordinary thing has happened," she exclaimed. She looked so excited that Kathleen regarded her with interest. The more so because instead of taking her basket of market produce through to the kitchen, Peggy had just dumped it on the bed. "It's really amazing how things work out sometimes. And I still can't believe that we may after all be able to keep you here." "Keep me here?" Kathleen gazed at her for an explanation. But what do you mean?" Peggy fumbled in the pockets of her slacks for the soft paper package of cigarettes that usually reposed in one or the other of them, and selected and lighted one before satisfying the other's curiosity. The deliberate movements of her slim, tanned fingers, Kathleen found almost maddeningly exasperating just then. "Darling, you did say you would like to stay in Portugal, if it was humanly possible, didn't you?"
"Why, yes.
You know I'd love to stay, but..."
"And you're not really serious about that job that was offered to you in the home counties?"